go to prayer. Father God, thank you so much for what's all taking place here already today. Lord, I know you're here because you inhabit the praise of your people. But Lord, I just want you to know we want you here. Holy Spirit, move amongst us with power. Lord Jesus, I would pray in these moments, Lord, that would you forgive me my sins and cleanse me, and Holy Spirit, come and fill me up. Lord, I pray that my friends, my family, Lord, they would hear from you today. Jesus, that they would know how much you love them. Lord, let that resonate with them. Lord, guide and direct the rest of the service. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder this morning if you've ever been in a place where there is a reckoning of sorts. There's something that you did or did not do, and now you're going to have to answer for it. I say I wonder, but really, this tends to happen to all of us. And oftentimes, they're just small little things. Like for me, I get a text from my wife, "Did you feed the dogs?" Kind of my job to do in the morning, or what I said I would do. And she might get up on a Tuesday morning, and that is the day that I'm out really early. I have a meeting that I go to, and she gets up Tuesday to say goodbye to Katie before she heads off to school, and the dogs are kind of following her around, you know, looking at her, not leaving her alone, kind of like they want something. And Picard, who's our bigger dog, starts licking her, and it may be seen by many as affection, but come on, it's really gross. And I get a text, "Did you feed the dogs?" And I have to answer for what I did or did not do. But that's kind of small. It was a few weeks ago, maybe a month, maybe 6 week-ish ago. Bonnie found one of these in her alleyway of our house. And in case you're wondering, it's a shingle. And this is not the one she found. It was in pretty rough shape. But she thought it had come off our house and wanted me to go up and check. Now, it's happened before a few different times, and I've gone up there and I've done repairs, but my parents, in the last year or so, they've kind of downsized, and we got a bunch of their old stuff in our garage, and it's kind of messy in there. And to get my 24-foot ladder down off the wall where I have it hung, I mean, it takes an hour just to get it out of the garage. So I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to pull it out. And I couldn't see anything from the road. Maybe it was from our neighbor's house. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. You know, and Bonnie mentioned it to me a few more times. And I didn't do anything about it. Well, last weekend, you know, Easter weekend, you know, we got a fair bit of rain. And I love the rain. I really do. I love walking in the rain. I love to sit in my nice dry house and listen to the rain come down. And I did that. I mean, even amongst the busyness of the Easter weekend, I had some opportunities to do this. And this past Monday, a few of us are now working on Mondays because of Alpha. And so Steve's kind of coming in, and I come in. But I had an early morning breakfast appointment, and then I came into the church, did some work. And I was feeling pretty tired. I thought, man, I'm going to go home a little early, take a nap before Alpha. And so I went home, and I was tired, and I got myself a cup of coffee, and planning on taking that nap. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to sit down, drink my coffee, and actually finish an episode of Star Trek Voyager I've been working on for an entire week. I had like 10 minutes left to watch. So I got it up, I got it running, took a sip of my coffee. I looked over to our stairwell that leads out of her family room down into the rest of our house, and I saw this. I gasped, and then I thought, Bonnie is going to kill me. Now, she was home at this time. She was going out with Katie, had no idea this had happened. And because I tell you, it didn't look like that on Sunday night when we went to sleep. And I leapt up with great motivation, got the ladder out of the garage, got all my roofing tools and a tub of tar, and off I went to fix the roof. Bonnie saw me being active, and she asked, "What are you doing?"
I'm like, oh, I'm going to go up on the roof and see if we got any shingles missing and fix the roof if need be. And she was so happy that I was caring for her house. Now, it's our home, but come on, it's her house. And up I went. She was so happy. I didn't want to ruin it. So I didn't mention that to her. I actually hoped that I might have it repaired before she and Katie got back. And off they went. So up I went. I found where it had blown off. And in fact, there were two shingles missing. And there's a little patch of bare wood showing pretty much right over the top of the stairs. And I put new shingles down, and I tarred it up real good, and I walked the rest of the roof, making sure that nothing else could potentially leak. And I cleaned up, and I put my stuff away, and then I got my stair ladder out and got into the house to see about repairing that, trying to hide it, actually. And at the time, my wife, she was so happy with me because I was working hard. But I knew, because as I began to check out that section of roof, there was no way I was going to repair that in time. And I knew that there was a demeanor change coming from my wife with an emphasis on meaner, okay? You know, and I don't know about you, but I've actually heard that crack kills, and that could actually be what it's talking about right there. It might have done me in. You know, and there's a hole in the roof there. That's where I attempted to kind of lift it up with the ladder, and right through it went. I'm like, oh, man, I'm in trouble. Well, Bonnie came home with Katie and wondered why I had ladders in the house. The reckoning was upon me. And this was actually kind of a micro event, as it all took place within a few short hours. From my discovery, realizing this is my fault for not acting sooner, and then trying to fix / hide the damage. And Bonnie being so happy, she was oblivious to the crack in the ceiling, to my then confession, because she would have seen it sooner or later. And she gasped, and she called me on her find of the shingle in the alleyway. And Katie, she jumped right in. Mom's taking Dad on. This is awesome. I'm getting in on this too. Mom, I actually found that shingle first, and I told you about it. You know, let's get Dad. Well, candidly, Bonnie was right to be upset, because there are all kinds of problems that come when water gets into places in your home where it should never be. And I'm going to come back to this story a little later. But have we not all been in a place like that? The situation, they can vary drastically, and they don't always take place within a few short hours. Sometimes days, sometimes weeks, months, even years. But in all cases, there comes a reckoning. When you confess or you are found out, and depending on what it is, the consequences can be small or incredibly huge, even life-changing. There is a verse in Hebrews 9, which is a powerful chapter in the book of Hebrews, but it's a verse that I memorized as a kid, Hebrews 9:27. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. Okay, a little scary, I know. But each and every one of us is going to face a reckoning of our life. And that's true for all of us. And I wanted to take some time post-Easter to look at my absolute favorite disciple, Peter. Peter, who had moments of brilliance. And then times when he just opened his mouth to change the foot that he had in it at the time. Moments when you read in Scripture about Peter and you just shake your head, oh, Peter, 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 Peter. I think that's why I like him so much. Not so much that misery loves company, but just he's real. And I want to look at what may be his greatest blunder and the reckoning with Jesus that followed. Peter had been with Jesus for 3 years of ministry. Peter had seen it all. He, along with James and John, were closest to Jesus. Peter was there when they fed the 5,000, when they fed the 4,000, and with next to nothing. He saw the food multiply before him. Peter was there when Lazarus was called out of the tomb and was restored to life. Peter was there when Jesus calmed the storm. The very elements listened to him. And Peter, for a short amount of time, actually got to walk on water, just like Jesus was. Peter had those experiences. And Peter was there for all the teaching of Jesus. And Peter saw all the healings that went on. Peter was there at the transfiguration of Christ when Moses and Elijah came down and spoke with Jesus and everything. Oh my goodness, I can't even imagine what that was like, but Peter was there. And Peter was the one that God endowed with insight and wisdom to know that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus had the words of eternal life. Peter had lived all of this out, had experienced all that with Jesus. And Peter, who was full of passion and love for Jesus, is told at the Last Supper that he and the rest of the disciples are going to abandon Jesus. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples jumped on the bandwagon too. And Peter, in that moment, I have no doubt that he believed every word he said. And I am confident he was actually a little put out that Jesus would think he would disown him. And I am sure that is why a little later in the garden, when Judas came with that detachment of soldiers to capture Jesus, that Peter was so amped up that somewhere he got a sword and he was going to show Jesus he would do whatever it took to protect him and save his life. So much so that he takes a sword out and lops off the ear. I think he was just a really bad shot. The ear of the servant of the high priest. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the man stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him. Now, Matthew here doesn't identify who it is, but John totally outs Peter. "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you're looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. This is one of those times. Peter. 3 years you've been with Jesus. Don't you get it? Didn't you listen to any of his teachings? And Luke tells us that, you know, Jesus picked up the ear, put it back on, healed the man, probably gave him an upgrade. But Jesus did that, and here's Peter. Peter did not know what to do. He did not know what to do, so he just acted contrary to the teachings he had heard Jesus giving. But he was hoping to show Jesus that he was committed to him to the end. And Jesus is bound and arrested and taken away. And it's like the wheels of Peter's faith just kind of fall right off. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, he had sat down together. Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. And Peter, he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. Here are the wheels. There they go. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them, meaning the disciples. Man, I am not, Peter replied. What's happening here? I mean, seriously. It was moments ago. Peter was ready to act. He was ready to fight. And he would have been killed if Jesus had not stepped in, if Jesus had not intervened. Now he can't even admit to knowing Jesus. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Now, this is told in the other Gospels, and we can get more details about it, but I chose Luke because he tells us Jesus saw Peter. He saw him. And Peter was yelling his denial of Jesus. And I think Jesus would have heard it too. I mean, Jesus is heading towards the beatings and the cross. Do you think he could have used the support of his friend, his disciple? I mean, I know that Jesus was fully God. He was fully God. But he was also fully man. And I'm thinking, yes. Yes, he could have used Peter's support. And Peter, after all his history with Jesus, he blows it. I mean, he falls. He shows his utter weakness. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. See, Peter had an epiphany moment here. He realized what he had just done to his Lord, his rabbi, his friend. And it crushed him. The only thing he could do was weep, and weep bitterly. And then he kept his distance from Jesus. How much regret, how much shame would Peter have felt? I mean, Peter was a broken man. So here's the thing. I've let people down in my life. I've let friends down. I've let my kids down. I have let Bonnie down. And I have felt so disappointed in myself when that happens. Peter let God down. Peter knew Jesus, walked with Jesus, and when Jesus needed him as a human brother, Peter blew it. He was not there for him. He didn't just drop the ball. He booted it far and away. And all the events of Good Friday happened. Jesus went to the cross for us. He dealt with the problem of sin for us, so that forgiveness could be truly available to us and the way to have relationship with God the Father open to us. And all the events of Easter happened. Jesus was raised from the dead with a new imperishable body, the first fruits of all who believe. And his rising gave credence to all that he taught, all he did, and who he said he was, the Son of God. And Peter was second to the tomb when Mary said the body was gone. Second only because John could run faster than him. But he was the first to go in. And Jesus appeared to them all. And Peter was excited. But, do you think Peter knew that a reckoning was coming for him? For what he did around the fire when Jesus was first arrested. I mean, when he denied Jesus three times. Do you think he wondered when Jesus was going to have that talk with him about his actions and his words? Like, I sure think he did. I think Peter was wondering when this is going to happen. Because Jesus was not one to let things go like this. Because he loved Peter. And he knew that not dealing with this had the potential to mess him up for the rest of his life unless unless there was a reckoning. But this reckoning was also about restoration. That's what Jesus does. That's what he does. And Jesus and the Father are one. That's what our Heavenly Father does also. Because we all have things in our lives, past failures, past hurts we have inflicted on others, and past wounds that we have received. And so very often, there is shame connected to those things. And Jesus will, as we move through life in relationship with him, bring us to places of reckoning. When we need to face them and truly begin to deal with these things, because they have potential to mess us over in life. And a reckoning with Jesus is always also about restoration. It was the third time Jesus had appeared to the disciples. They've been out fishing all night and caught nothing. And what is Jesus doing? Cooking breakfast for them. They don't recognize him on shore. He asks them if they haven't any fish. And they tell him, no, we don't have any fish. He says, throw your net down this side of the boat. And wham, it is full, bursting with fish, 153 of them. And that's when John kind of leans over to Peter and goes, it's the Lord. It's Jesus. And good old impulsive Peter, woof, he's out of the boat. He is moving through the water towards Jesus. Peter loves Jesus. The mess that he could sometimes be, he loves Jesus, and he is loved by his Lord. And there's a wonderful parallel to the start of the journey here in this story with Jesus and then becoming fishers of men, but we don't have time to go there today. And Jesus, I just love Jesus. I mean, he made breakfast for them. He had bread and he had fish cooking. He asked for some more of the fish they had just caught to be brought. And Jesus, just understand this, Jesus wants to be with them. And he says, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. And I'm sure they spent time around that fire enjoying the food, talking and reminiscing about the past 3 years, and even the wonder of the past number of weeks. And after a time, I see Peter and Jesus moving away together. And here comes the reckoning. Here comes Peter's restoration. The mess of a man he was, carrying all that guilt and that shame for his actions. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, Jesus is not trying to be mean here because it can look like that. As he asks him to affirm the love that Peter has for him 3 different times. And I think it's kind of easy for us to make the leap to understand those 3 questions of Peter are offsetting the 3 denials he had on that sad night. But there's more going on here. Peter was becoming a different man. The events that had taken place changed him. Peter had been this confident, proud, and passionate man. And those things had fueled the choices, both the wise one and the foolish ones, both the heroic and the cowardly. And Peter had been living and acting on a premise that many of us tend to live with. If it's to be, it's up to me. If it's to be, it's up to me, when the truth was, Peter was quite powerless to control the outcome of pretty much everything. But here in this place, Jesus asks Peter to affirm his love for him, and each time he does, Jesus entrusts him to care
for his people, to care for what was most precious to Jesus. And this is not the old Peter, who would have pounded his chest and said, "Yes, I will take care of your sheep. I got this, Jesus." That's not who Peter is anymore. This is Peter who was broken. This is Peter who was crushed. This is Peter who Jesus is putting back together with the realization that he could not do it apart from Jesus. And Peter was learning that if he was going to take this on to care for the church, sheep, it would be through dependence on Jesus. And that dependence on Jesus would empower his life. Jesus goes on to say, "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus is telling Peter that he will indeed give his life for the glory of God. And the outstretched hands is to indicate that Peter would be crucified. And I know that doesn't sound like a real pep talk. Not something that's going to lift your spirits. But, see, this is like Jesus telling Peter, "Peter, you are going to do great things for God. You are going to make an impact with your life. All those things you're aspiring to are going to take place, but they're going to take place because you are dependent on me." Now keep in mind, Peter saw all that they had done to Jesus. And Jesus was a mess when he went into that tomb. And he's standing with Jesus in his resurrected first fruits body that will come to all believers. As this conversation is going on. And I keep saying Peter has become a different man. But he still has the old Peter with him. And he hears this. And well, let me just read this to you. "Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, 'Lord, who is going to betray you?' When Peter saw him, he asked, 'Lord, what about him? What about him?'" And he's looking at John. Is he going to have to go through all this as well? And Jesus is saying some very good but hard things to Peter. And I can almost hear him saying, "Jesus, is this fair? Will John have to do this too?" And Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Peter, this is not about John. This is about you, and you must follow me. And Peter did. There were some bumps along the road, but Peter rose up as an important leader in the early church after the coming of the Holy Spirit. And just in wrapping this up, Peter had this reckoning with Jesus. And Jesus restored Peter. Peter felt like he had let God down. He had let Jesus down. And I am betting this morning there are maybe more than a few of us in here who have felt the same way. I have let Jesus down. I have let God down in the past. And Peter is this incredible example in that he keeps moving towards Jesus. Jesus cooked him breakfast. Jesus wanted to be with Peter. And if you feel like you've blown it, you've done something, and now God doesn't want any part of you anymore, can I just tell you right now, it's not true. And you should not run away from Jesus. If Peter was doing anything right, he kept running towards Jesus. The mess that he was, he kept running
towards Jesus because he loved him and he knew he was loved by Jesus. And there may be a reckoning coming that Jesus wants to have with you. And it might be hard. But hear me this morning, there will also be a big side of restoration because you are loved by God. And again, please hear me. Stop asking about other people. Stop looking to the good or the bad that happens to other people and comparing yourself and your struggles to them. Don't do that. Jesus, this is happening to me. Jesus, I'm going through this really hard time. Jesus, what about them? Are they going to have to go through some of this stuff too? Why don't I have that good stuff happening to me? And I hope that you might hear Jesus say to you, don't look at them. Look at me. You must follow me. You must follow me. And you need to know following Jesus is not safe. Peter did end up dying on a cross. And following Jesus today is actually becoming less and less safe. But it's good. It is so good. And your life will be exciting. And I tell you, boredom and Christianity, they're like oxymorons. They shouldn't go together. When you follow Jesus, it might be hard, but it will be good because Jesus will walk with you every step of the way. And you will have a life full of purpose and a purpose that goes beyond this side of eternity into the next. Come to him. Come to Jesus. Even if you are anticipating a reckoning will take place. Because restoration will also take place. Because you are loved as a daughter or son of the Most High. You know, Bonnie, that Monday night when the crack appeared and I had my reckoning with her, that Monday night she had words of love and thanks for me getting up on the roof and trying to deal with that problem. And then later that week, when that chunk of ceiling fell into our house at 3 a.m. in the morning, there was another reckoning, let me tell you. And she wondered why I didn't use a picture of that mess. I'm like, I don't want people seeing that. You know, I just put the picture of the hole in the ceiling. She still loves me. My wife does. Oh, I married well, I know. And my friends, hear me in this. Over the years as a Christian, I've made messes. And I have wiped out different times. And Jesus keeps loving me. He keeps loving me and telling me the hard-to-hear truths at times. And he tells me because he loves me. And there is restoration that comes in those times. He walks with me. And hear me today. Hear me this morning. He will walk with you too. He will walk with you too. Because you are loved by Jesus. You are loved by your Heavenly Father. Don't fear the reckoning. Because it comes hand in hand with restoration. And we need both. Let me pray for us. Father, this morning I thank you. Oh, you love us so much. And I think about talking with Mike after the first service about grace and the ocean that it is and the inability to make a dent in it. But Lord, that grace, oh boy, it costs so much. It costs you, Father God, so much. But we get to live in it. And I thank you for that love that we get to be a part of. I thank you for the way that you work to restore us. And God, you want us to live freely and lightly. And that comes as we do life with you. And God, I know that the Christian life, I know how amazing and incredibly and how good it can be. But God, I also know it's hard and dangerous at times. But God, you're with us every step of the way. And you never made us for time. You made us for eternity. And this is not our home. Our home is with you in heaven. New heaven, new earth, Lord, that's our home. But God, in the here and now, might you fill my friends with confidence in who you've made them to be. And that, Jesus, they would just grab you by the hand. They would follow you every step. Wherever you lead them, they would say, yes, Lord. Conversations, yes, Lord. To put bad habits out of their life, yes, Lord. To spend time with you, yes, Lord. To love their spouse, even when it's hard, yes, Lord. To give time to their kids, yes, Lord. To speak those hard words of truth to good friends that they desperately need to hear, but they don't want to, Lord, they say yes to you to do that too. And God, that you would walk with us every step of the way, and you will. You said you would. You would never leave us nor forsake us. Nothing can separate us from your love. But God, I pray that you would help us put our confidence, Jesus, in you. And we would live our lives in dependence on you, because that's how we were made to do life. And we will shine like stars in this community, in this world. And that brilliance will be you, Jesus, shining out of us. Lord, let us do life with you. Let us follow you every step of the way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.